Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers are SEC champions. Let's talk about it on this live edition of the Uptempo Podcast.
You are now listening to the War Report Podcast Network.
What is up, Auburn family? I'm your host, Dustin Smith, joined as always by my guy, Blake Lane. And Blake, I thought we woke up today feeling like SEC champions, baby. I know I did. How about you, my guy?
Yes, sir. Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers, SEC champs. A lot of people were doubting them, said they couldn't win away from Neville Arena, said they couldn't win in Nashville. And the boys just went in and they did the damn thing, Dustin. People doubted them all year. They lost to App State and they lost on the road to Mississippi State and conversation about Bruce Pearl here, where is the program headed and all of this stuff, just nonsense. And, a lot of people doubted this team when they lost to Kentucky, and then you had Dalton Kinnick drop 40 on us and we lost at Tennessee. And, people were just saying that we're the sixth best team in the SEC, and you get into the SEC tournament and those same fans that were talking trash, their teams couldn't get it done. All right. Our team did get it done, Dustin. And then I see today their teams, their fans want to get online and say that Auburn had a cakewalk to the SEC title. All right. I saw one Bama fan, Bear Bryant Burner. I believe that's who it was.
No, Dylan Carville, that guy a long time ago. Hey, he's been blocked, brother.
he gets on here and says, don't let Auburn fans fool you. It was a cakewalk. All right, buddy, Florida beat you by 20, all right, embarrassed you, all right? That game could have been cut off with 15 minutes left in the second half. That's how bad it was. So cakewalk this, cakewalk that. We did it, you did it, and we had guys step up. And Chris Moore, shout out to him. I thought he played a hell of a tournament. And it's just that's how close this team is. No, I think you saw it in the celebration. Guys like CBM just cherishing the moment and really embracing it and taking it all in. I think that's what it's all about, and that's what Bruce Pearl has taught at Auburn and in the 10 years he's been on the Plains. And if you ever think Bruce Pearl is leaving Auburn, I think you're nuts because he's built a powerhouse. I mean, it's incredible what Bruce has done, and he's bringing elite talent into the program. He's bringing elite recruits on campus to visit. And we're talking about a football school. We're talking about a school that will always put football first when it comes to the athletic department. And this man, he's changed it. He's changed it. And they just keep winning. I mean, I can't say enough about him and this staff. And that's one big thing, Dustin, that really gets me with Bruce. And I really get pumped up about it is he always gives credit to his staff. he always gives credit to the kids, and it's fun to have a coach like that. It's fun to have a coach that cares, and he cares about the other coaches on campus. He cares about the students on campus. He's always involved. You see this man in the middle of October with his shirt off in Jordan-Hare Stadium. He cares, people. He cares. And that's what really gets me fired up is, you know, we might be a four seed in the East region with UConn, but damn it, what he did with this team, I'll tell you this real quick, Dustin. This is what I think he did with this team. I went on a podcast before basketball season started, and I was being interviewed, and they said, well, where do you think Auburn finishes in the SEC? I said, I think Auburn competes for an SEC title. I said, I don't know how you don't look at this roster and think otherwise. And they said, well, we kind of think they finish around an 8 or a 9 seed. And, you know, like 5th or 6th in the SEC standings. I disagree. Like I said, I think this team is going to compete. They're going to be in the top 4 of the SEC. They're going to be down the stretch in a competition for the SEC championship. And we missed out on the SEC regular season title. We were right there in the thick of things, but we made up for it in the tournament. And that is how much I believed in this program. That's how much I believe in our coach and our players, Dustin. I'm damn proud of Auburn basketball today.
Yeah, it's hard not to be, and it's funny, you know, as we sit here today, it's 10 years to the day to when Jay Jacobs made that decision. So shout out to my guy Jay Jacobs, bro, because that wasn't an easy decision to make at the time. Now, it looks like the obvious decision. It looks like the layup, but it wasn't. He had to go to ESPN. There was a lot of stuff going on with the NCAA and Bruce Pearl. Obviously, everybody knows the situation in Tennessee. And for Jay Jacobs to go out and make that move and say, nah, we don't care about none of that. We're going to give the guy a second chance. And I think that Bruce has shown you, when you talk about him being in Jordan-Hare Stadium with his shirt off in October, it's the buy-in, man. He's bought into the town of Auburn. He's bought into the fan base, the university. He wants to see everybody succeed. Mm-hmm. And so we love seeing him succeed, right? And when you see a guy care that much, I think it trickles down to the players, because looking at this weekend, Blake, I don't think there was a possession that a single player on our team took off.
Yep.
I mean, and it's been that way all year. It's why I was never freaking out after the Mississippi State loss or after the loss in Tuscaloosa. It's like, man, first off, close losses on the road are not worth freaking out about, especially in a league like the SEC this year. But these kids just compete, man. They compete every single minute. And, like, there's going to be times in the game where the shots don't fall and things aren't going your way. And we saw when we played Tennessee, like, I thought we played good defense. Yep. Dude just put up 40, bro. Like, that's just going to happen some nights. But from start to end, bro, from game one to the SEC tournament championship, the effort from this team has been relentless. And why has it been able to? Part of it is the buy-in. Part of it is the head coach and the staff. Yep. But also because you got 10 guys that play, and you can afford to go all out. If you're a starter and you're only playing 24 minutes and the guy coming off the bench right behind you is able to bring his own game and bring his own level of juice and bring something different to the court, it's such a fun team to watch, dude. And I hope and I pray I see some of the football players in the stands sometimes. And I hope and I pray that they see just how important team unity is. Mm. Because there have been nights where we've had over 25, 26 assists. You do that multiple times in a season, it's not an accident.
Yep.
It's everyone's bought into the mission. Everyone's okay. There was a game this weekend, I believe it was Friday night versus South Carolina, where Denver Jones looked like he was about to get going and didn't shoot again because he didn't have to. Yep. And Jalen shot the ball twice, and we won the game by plus 30 because he didn't have to shoot the ball more than twice. There was a point earlier in the season where if I would have said Jalen Williams only shot the ball twice, you would have been like, boy, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
But Chaney Johnson developing, rising to that next level as a player, gives Jalen the ability to, I don't have to do it tonight. Denver Jones finding his groove. CBN becoming the player that he is. I think in a lot of ways, him and Janai are kind of the heart and soul of the team. I talked about yesterday on Lobtown, a postgame, where I said, you know, when I look at the 2019 team, something that they had on the wing was that Samir Dowdy. a wing out there that has a little bit of size, so he can defend the perimeter, but can make you. He can get to the hole. The mid range is available, and he can stretch the floor out and hit from the three. CBM is similar on the exact same player, but look at the personality. Look at the tenacity. Look at the way they play. And they also bring similar things to that three spot. So I think that's something that's kind of opened up the floor as well. Jahni Broome this weekend, dude, like Blake, he gets MVP, man. And I want to take a quick look at his numbers because our guy, he just put in work. In 24 minutes, Blake, 24 minutes, 15.6 points, two blocks a game, 2.6 assists from the center position, and then 8 rebounds. Just kind of talk about Jahni Broome, man, and the impact he's had on this team.
Oh, man, what a leader. What a leader. Dustin, I don't know if anybody impacts their team more in the country. I really don't. I think Jahni is everything you want as your team leader. The guy, he went and he tested the draft waters last year. He showed out, and they said, hey, here's some things you need to work on. You need to go back to school. You need to work on these, get better, and then come back and see us. One of those was shooting a three ball. And now, Dustin, he's shooting it at a high level, and it's opening the Auburn offense up even more. His ability to step out and shoot the three, the spacing on the floor, his ability to dribble, drive, and get to the rim off of it, his ability to dish. That is my biggest thing with Jahni right now. Man, you watch some of these passes. Jahni is seeing the entire floor, and he's just giving dishes, just silky smooth. Just, hey, big fella, dump it off. Give me an easy bucket. I mean, guy got snubbed for multiple awards. And me personally, I think it's BS because I think he's one of the best players in the country. I think the SEC gets they get undervalued a little bit, and the players who play in this conference get looked down upon a little bit because we're not the typical, you know, blue blood basketball conference. We're considered a football conference and all of that stuff. But Jahni Broome has taken his game. Even on nights where we're getting pounded on the glass, man, you watch Jahni Broome come out in the second half, and he's just a difference maker. He's getting nasty and dirty down there, man, and he's bringing that electric, tenacity in the paint. And I think him coming back this year was just one of the biggest additions to any team in the country. I can't say enough about him, Dustin. The dude is him. And I saw on Twitter this year people criticizing him and, oh, where's Jahni at? Oh, Jahni's, he's getting bullied down low in the first half. Where's four at? Man, I was on Twitter yesterday. Hey, feed four. They can't stop him. Man, you let him get down on that low post and he gets to that block, it's over with. He's going to hit you with the little baby hook or man, his footwork has improved so much. He's just a force right now. And I don't think he's one of those dudes where we're not going to get bullied in the postseason. We're not going to go up against a Zach Edey, and Jahni's not going to let him bully him. All right? We're not going to go up against somebody like that. Where we do get, you know, in a physical contest and we're just like, man, we're soft tonight. Like, we're soft. Nah, Jahni, he don't care, bro. He's going to show you straight up. Like, hey, I'm going to have to do what I got to do. And even if I do got to pick up a technical foul or whatever, if I got to foul the shit out of you, that's what I'm going to do. All right. Like, honestly. And he's gonna leave some blood out there, blood, sweat, and tears, that's what he's gonna do. We're not getting bullied, bro. For it, he ain't built like that. And that's what I respect about his game is, you know, they talk trash and everything, but I think that gets them going. And I think Jahni feeds on that. And he's a hell of a player, Dustin. I like I said, I can't say enough about him. He's just his passing has picked up. His three ball is picked up. His footwork in the paint has improved so much. And I just think the growth of him as a teammate, and you see him, you know, being vocal and leading the guys and everything, That's big for me, Dustin. So I think Jonai's that dude, brother.
Yeah, straw that stirs the drink. And when you talk about staying out of foul trouble, 24 minutes per game, it's kind of easy to do that. And then the emergence of Dylan Carwell as well. So before I get into just kind of showing my love to Jonai, I got to show love to our guy Carwell, because Dylan has given Jonai the opportunity to play freely, to play loose on the defensive end, because Dylan's able to come in and give us quality, solid minutes, man. There's really not a step off. At times this year, on the defensive side, it may have even been a step up with Dylan coming in, with the energy that he's brought. And Jonai's been no slouch on the defensive end, but it's just the ability that Dylan's game has raised so much from last year to this year, and it's really kind of allowed Jonai to take that next step. And what is that next step that Jonai has taken? Like you said, first of all, footwork. The passing ability from the big. When your five is now able to space the floor, he is able to shoot the three. We've gone ISO with Jonai Broom at the top of the key and let him just work and get to the basket. When you have a five that can do all those different things, the way the rest of this team is built, with a three like CBM who can do all kinds of different things, man, it just opens up a world of opportunities. And that's why, like, when you look at this weekend in particular, I thought that Bruce Pearl was in his freaking bag at play calling. And a lot of that was because Jonai gives him the option to do so many things. We saw BP do stuff this weekend that he's never done before, because I don't know if BP has ever had a five quite like this. And it got sketchy last year as far as him returning, because he went out to the combine. He went to some of these NBA camps and just balled out. I would say that after the progression his game has made this year, that spacing that he brings to the five position, tailor made for that NBA, that five spot. And now I think he's going to get in there, probably be a late draft pick and really find a role in the league. So just, and then you talk about the leadership as well. He's kind of taking that on. He's taking that role and kind of show those young guys, hey, man, like, this is the way we do things at Auburn. And to see him cutting down the nets, to see him being a champion, it's really cool to see. He's definitely deserved it. And maybe the best big that BP's had. I think that argument is a fair argument that could be made.
Yeah.
Before we keep it going, Blake, I want to holler at our people. Our guy Michael is in the chat. He said, good evening, champs. Good evening to you, sir. You look like an SEC champion, Michael. Kingsley says, I want to make the point that just maybe the best thing that happened to this team was J-Will getting injured. Chaney and CBM had to step up, and that's exactly what they did. Yeah, Kingsley, I agree with you a large part of this. You know, obviously Chaney was like putting in the work, you know, in practice and everything to kind of build up to be ready for that moment. And if you go back and watch him throughout the season, you can kind of see the progression slowly, game by game, kind of get to the point that it is. But he was ready to answer the bell, to your point, whenever Jalen got hurt. And, like, it probably was a good thing that Jalen just didn't miss a whole lot of time, right? Only missed one game, came back the second game. They kind of worked him back in slowly. But those other guys got their opportunity. They balled out, in particular that game where Jalen didn't play. Chaney balled out, and that, I think you make a good point, Kingsley. That had to do a ton for his confidence. Auburn Dad says, sup, fam, War Damn Eagle. Bruce and the boys brought home a ship. Yes, they did. And if you hear them talking, Auburn Dad, they're determined to bring home another one. Brett commented on Blake's comments about the people on the other side of the state, saying, I've been telling you where they can stick it. Hey, listen, I didn't know they knew about basketball. I didn't know they knew it was a thing. I found out this week, and they knew about baseball.
I tell you this, I've never seen a program just try to diminish what somebody else accomplishes. Right? Like, bro, I had people all year. I was like, hey, there's no way you tell me Alabama's better than Auburn. No, I swear. Like, Alabama's better than Auburn. You're just looking through the orange and blue goggles, brother. And I'm like, no, you can't sit here and tell me that you're a better basketball team. You don't play defense, dog. You don't have a big man. You have nobody that can bang in the paint. That's why people are picking Charleston to wax you, okay? Because you don't have a big man. Grant Nelson is not him. He's not. He's trash, okay? Let's just be honest. He's not good. He's not what you thought he was going to be. And we win it, and you immediately, oh, the path was easy. You had a cakewalk. You're not who you think you are. You can't win the regular season and the tournament championship in the same year. It's got to be one or the other. Man, I don't give a damn. You wasn't there. You didn't win either this year. So pipe down, little boy. Like, that's it.
Saying it's an easy route when a team that Auburn beat was a team that clapped you, like, that's weird. Like, it was easy, then why didn't you do it?
Exactly.
It doesn't, you know, that's kind of a whatever. Listen. Y'all know I get hell all the time for when Alabama accomplishes something, acknowledging the accomplishment, right? I get called Closet Gump all the time for doing that. So, you know, it's silly. Like, you got – listen, if Alabama was to win this tournament, I would call them what they are, SEC tournament champs. They did it. You did it. Don't act like you didn't want to win it. None of that crap that you're saying. You want to win it. Everybody wants a ship. Shut up. Let us have our moment. Like,
it's like Nate Oates. He's like, well, maybe it might be a good thing that we didn't win it because we got a couple of extra days of rest. Dog, don't sit here and play that card. You wanted to win it, all right? I don't want to hear the whole, oh, we got a few extra days of rest and all that. Don't give me that. I don't want to hear it. That ain't it. You got clapped.
Yeah. And it's we don't play till Friday, so there's plenty of rest there anyway.
Thank you.
Brad says, what's up? What's up, Brad? You're always here, brother. We're glad that you are. And then he says, can't be so aggressive that they get in severe foul trouble during the tournament. Look, Brad, it hasn't been a trouble for Auburn all year. It just hasn't been a problem. The reason it hasn't been a problem is because if somebody gets two quick fouls, the guy coming in behind him can play the rest of the half. You don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about giving Simo 20 minutes if you have to right now. Tell me somebody who's not playing their best basketball right now. Aiden? And I mean, he's not like he's not playing the way he was, right? Like, he's not. I know he had some bad games, you know, this weekend, but like, it's not what it was. We saw him start to come out of it, and as the season came to an end, like, who on this team is playing just terrible basketball right now? Who do you not really trust? Like, Aiden's the one guy where you're iffy on. Everybody else is playing their best ball of the season, right? Yeah. Well, there's nobody. You don't get on the court if you're not bought into the defensive effort on the squad. And then Auburn Dad, who has been a member for 3 months today, we appreciate you, brother, saying Bruce and the boys won one ship, now get to win the next. That's the message. And I made this point yesterday on the post game, Auburn Dad. Bruce doesn't talk like that every tournament. He didn't talk that way with Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith. He's talking that way right now for a reason. And he talked that way in 2019. And the reason he's talking that way, it's because he knows what it takes, and he thinks that this team has a legitimate chance. So, makes me excited, Blake.
I think he's talking that way because Denver Jones has come on, and he's knocking down shots. Chaney Johnson has elevated his game. Man, when I saw Chaney go to the dribble, pull up, and fading away in buckets, just I said, ooh, that's an NBA move right there. All right, that wasn't just no college basketball move. That's an NBA move. You jab step, go to the dribble, left hand, pull up, bucket. All right, that's NBA stuff. Like, not everybody in college basketball is hitting that shot. And Chaney's growth has been fun to watch, like magical. And I think that's one of the big pieces of this team. Another person that caught a lot of hell throughout the year is Chris Moore. Dog, Chris Moore, I don't ever want to hear another bad word about him. My buddy played his tail off. He's a scrappy rebounder. He's going to crash the boards. He's going to dive on the floor, whether we're down 20 or we're up 20. He's getting dirty, all right? That's his game. He might not fill it up. He might not score 20 or whatever. But he's going to give you those hustle plays, and he's going to show up for this team. And I got to respect him for that, brother. I think he was a big, big piece to us winning this tournament. And I don't want to see any more Simo slander. I think what he's done – look, this dude could have transferred. He could have transferred, dog. He could have went to somewhere, like, he could have come right down here to Mobile, to South Alabama, like Turbo did a couple years ago, all right? And he could have started, and he could have played his 30 games in the Sun Belt and all that good stuff. But instead, he chooses to play 8 to 10 minutes a night on a winning program, a team that's going to go to the tournament and play in March Madness, and he accepted his role in an era where not too many kids do it anymore. So – big shout out to him. That's a guy that has accepted what Bruce Pearl is preaching, And I can't say enough about him. I think he's a hell of a dude.
If you go back to that 2019 run, I think of Danzel Purifoy.
Yes.
Who was called upon in certain moments, and every time he was called upon, he answered the bell. He never filled the stat sheet up on that run. But if you go back and watch the plays that he made winning plays on both ends of the floor. He dove and got the loose balls when we had to have them. That's the way I see Simo playing right now. If he can give us that, man, it just gives us a whole nother element that makes this team that much more dangerous. He's catching the ball when he's not hesitating. I mean, I remember a play. I don't remember the opponent, but in the regular season, he got an offensive rebound, had it, and just started to go up and hesitated. Literally looked left, looked right, hesitated, got swatted.
Yep.
He's not doing that right now. He's catching it, feet set, square with the shoulders, bang, confident. Gets the offensive rebound. He goes right back up and finishes it. He's confident in everything that he's doing. And to see Simo get to that point on the offensive end, dude, it's really hard to not look at every part of this team and feel like things are going the right way. Blake, I got to talk about my guy. There was a point in the game where it started getting hairy, where Florida started coming back. Somebody steps up, makes a big three, and then gets a steal, gets the assist in transition. This boy, Trey Donaldson, is a dog, Blake. This man is a dog. And I'm just telling you, when we saw it last year in last year's tournament, I've not been shy about it. I thought it was one of the worst decisions Bruce Pearl has made, taking him out of that second game. I thought it cost us that second round game in the tournament last year. As soon as Trey went out, things went downhill. Went downhill in the first game, too, but we were able to hold on. And I just think that Trey's built for these moments, man. I think he's built for these moments. And he's not going to back down. He's not scared to take that shot. He's not scared to take that three. He's not scared to go to the hole and take on two defenders if he has to. You know that the IQ is there. You can trust Trey to 9 times out of 10 make the right play. And I got to say this. You talked a little bit about certain people in the media not looking down on SEC teams because they're from certain regions of the country. This thing that I saw today, that Trey Donaldson is not athletic enough to guard Yale's guards. Just say, and I'm not even going to give the guy credit. I'm not going to say his name on this podcast because he doesn't deserve it, because he is an Auburn hater. He will always come through with Auburn hate. He will not give fair takes, but that one is straight garbage. You are talking about a 4-star safety out of Tallahassee, Florida. Do you think they give people in Tallahassee, Florida 4-star ratings for no reason? How many 4-star safeties do you know from the panhandle that lack athleticism? What kind of sense does that make? Shut up there. I get it. You want Providence in Rhode Island, in Marquette, and all in Syracuse to do it. But I got news for you. Auburn made the decision 10 years ago to the day that forced Alabama to get right in basketball, that forced LSU to get right in basketball, that forced Georgia and South Carolina to get right in basketball. It ain't the Kentucky Invitational, is it, no more? And when you go back and check when that started, BP coming in at Auburn started that, because when the worst team in the SEC started beating everybody, they had to take notice, bro. They had to step up and say, we can't allow this to continue. So this whole idea that Trey Donaldson is not going to be able to guard anybody from Yale, we'll see Friday. I can't wait. And Auburn's going to go on a run in this tournament. We'll kind of do our predictions here at the end a little bit. But I'll say this. Trey Donaldson is going to be a big, big part of it. And I would bet that if we're going to get in a tight game, Blake. We're going to be in a tight game here in this tournament. We're going to be in a tight game this weekend, I would assume. Probably that second one. Maybe the first one. Don't want to overlook anybody, right? I think Trey Donaldson is the guard on the floor in those final 2 minutes to close out a tournament game this time.
I agree 100%. The court vision off the charts. His ability to get into the lane, the mid-range, I think that's the most impressive thing in his game is the mid-range jumper. Kid is elite. And, just such a dumb statement to make. You want to know who said it? I'll tell you who said it. I think everybody knows Mr. Goodman, all right? And he's a clown, all right? He's a clown. And like Dustin said, he's an Auburn hater. And when I saw it, I immediately got in our game day group chat and I said, I can't believe what I just heard. Like, what are we even talking about? You know, I don't know how people like this get mics and platforms to say stupid stuff. I'll say stuff. And you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
You're just saying things for views and clicks at this point. Let's be honest. You're trying to take one team in the state and diminish what they've done. And you're trying to boost another team up. That's honestly what you're doing.
We get it. I think he's just an SEC hater. Because everything I see, he's hating on everybody but Kentucky when I see him. I don't think he likes Bama either. He's
a regional guy. Yeah. He could be. And I get it. I get it. You want the Georgetowns to be great like they used to be and the Syracuses and all that, like you said. You want Louisville to be back. You know, I get it. All right. I get it. You're probably one of those guys that thinks BP is still going to Indiana or the KFC Yum Center or whatever. yeah, man. I don't get it. But look.
It's a terrible name for arena.
Yeah, the KFC Yum Center. That's, Trey Donaldson, though, Dustin, that spark, I think that's what he's brought all year. He's brought that intensity, that fire, the hustle plays, and his shooting has just off the charts. And we saw that, like you said, in March, starting last year, and it's carried over to this year. Him always not afraid to take the big time shots and knock down the threes when we need them. And that spark, that's all it took. That's all it took. And you saw the life of when he read that, he said, give it to me. Looks up, finds Denver Jones in transition. Denver Jones, easy flush, bang. Auburn went up 8 after that. I think we were up 3, and then he hit the 3 and then got it out in transition to Denver. It was that quick. Bang. Auburn up 8. The momentum started turning. And that's Trey Donaldson. That's his game. Is Trey Donaldson going to play in the NBA? I don't know. You know, I doubt it. Because, look, there's a thing in the NBA that I think there's been 34 point guards drafted. There's been 34 point guards drafted in the first round since like Steph Curry or whatever. And I think like 6 of them are still active in the NBA. So like out of 34, there's only 6 that are still active.
Yeah. It's just not a lot of spots in that league.
Yeah. And you gotta be 6'3". It's guards that are 6'3" or smaller.
Right.
Out of that 34. So you got to think, man, there's only 6 out of 34 that are still active. It's some crazy stat like that who are 6'3 and below. So in the NBA, it's a league where, look, if you're not 6'5, 6'6, you know, unless you can shoot it like Steph, you're in trouble. Majority of the time, you know. But what he's brought to Auburn has just been a breath of fresh air, because we struggled at the guard position a lot of the times, you know, and that was Auburn's biggest knock was, you know, Auburn don't have the guard play. And then we do have the guard play this year. And I get on Twitter and now all of a sudden our guards aren't athletic. Yeah. Like, just tell me you don't watch Auburn basketball, bro. Just tell me that you don't watch the SEC tournament. I mean, get out of here, Joseph.
Katie Hoover. Johnson's not athletic.
Yeah. Yikes. He's probably the most athletic. Yikes. I mean,
yeah. That's certainly a take. Our guy Rodney says, "What's up, Dustin? Bruton, Alabama in the house." Or damn, hey, shout out to everybody in Bruton, baby. Bruton, East Bruton, Flemington, where y'all at, man? I love all y'all. I love my Hurricanes, my Eagles, and my TR Miller Tigers. Trevor says, "What's up, brother? Feels good to be kings of the SEC." Mm. Yes, it does. Yes, it does, man. And when anybody tries to knock you off your throne, that's when you know you're at the top, baby. Keith says, "Sloppy passes are the only thing that worries me about this team. Sometimes they get in too much of a hurry." I agree with you. I would say usually when Auburn gets in this space, we're doing our thing on defense and we're forcing the other team into sloppy passes as well. So, like, yes, there's going to be a stretch most likely where Auburn goes into a scoring slump. This year, a lot less than other years. I mean, top 10, right, in offense and defensive efficiency. Only team, by the way, in the country, but you still get a 4 seed anyway. But just looking at that, Blake, it's like I feel like even if Auburn has a 3 or 4 minute stretch where we go cold, there's going to be a 5 or 6 minute stretch where we put the other team in hell. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to score too. So yep. I agree with you, Keith. That's, you know, college basketball teams, things can get sloppy at times, but we're going to force the other team to be sloppy as well. Kingsley says, that's what's so beautiful about our depth. We can all play aggressive defense and nobody gets soft on defense because we have another five. Exactly. When you're splitting minutes the way we are, obviously that tones down fouls. And then mentally, you know, like, hey, I can go a little bit because I don't have to play so timid. We've been in positions in the four in the past, really in the front court, where our four or our five get in trouble. I'll just be honest with you. Last year, Dylan wasn't ready in that scenario.
Yep.
Dylan wasn't ready to consistently hold down the five spot in heavy minutes in the SEC last year. He put in the work and he got ready this year. So
better at shooting free throws as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Rodney with the $20 super sticker. Appreciate you, brother. That's big time. Appreciate you. Yeah. Back. Auburn Dad says, Simo didn't miss shot. Hold tourney. Hey. Batting 1,000, baby. Keep it clean, Simo. He's taking nice, efficient shots. Brett says, I heard somewhere that Simo was trying to get everyone else the ball, and the coaches told him to just start playing. That sounds like a Simo thing, brother. I wouldn't be surprised at that. James is in the house. What's up, James? Devin is here as well. So we appreciate all you guys being here. All right, Blake, a little bit of controversy after the seeding comes out. Me and you haven't even really talked about it because I just think that me and you are both kind of on the same wavelength as this one. But let's pull it up, man. Let's take a look at the region that they gave our Auburn Tigers coming out with the 4 seed. You see UConn there at the top is the one taking on Stetson. But we got Yale in the first round. We'll take on the winner of San Diego State and UAB. Mm-hmm. I think it's really goofy to have 3 teams from Alabama playing in Spokane, Washington. But do what you do, tournament committee. you know, you're looking at the polls. Auburn coming in 7th today. Tournament committee tells you that you're really the 15th best team. I don't really know what the criteria is. You know, Michigan State getting a 9 seed at 19-14 really made me giggle when I came across that this morning. I said, oh, man, Virginia making the tournament. Like, me and C-Dub took a shot at them yesterday. Like, we won't even get our chance to ever get redemption on y'all this year if it would come to be because Virginia not going to be in the tournament. No. Little did we know. But overall, Blake, just kind of looking at this matchup and looking at the draw, I would say that this first weekend, I kind of just want to focus, you know, not get too far down the road. If Auburn advances past this first weekend, we'll do another show and continue to look at it. Mm-hmm. But first weekend, bro, I think this is a nice draw. I wouldn't be fired up about seeing UAB, but it's not something I would be overly worried about. And I think that we handle business in the first round, and I don't care what anybody's Goodman or anybody else says. I think we're okay. What do you think about this draw, man?
I think it's a hell of a draw. Look, I know a lot of people might not agree with me, but I think Yale, beatable. San Diego State, UAB. Me, personally, I would rather play San Diego State. I've watched them play twice this year. They are not good on the offensive side of the ball. They're not. They play good defense and everything like that. We saw them make their run to the championship last year to play UConn. And they got blasted. But I don't think that team this year is as good as it was last year. And I think UAB might get them. I think that might be that 12-5 upset right there, one of them. UAB's got some shooters, man. They got some athleticism over there in Birmingham, brother. Like, mm-hmm. They got some dudes. I watched them play yesterday, and that's a talented bunch. And they play team basketball. They pass it around until they find the open shot. Got a bunch of high flyers over there. Get out in transition. They're really, really good, man. And so I wouldn't be nervous to play them because I think Auburn can beat, win both of these games this coming weekend. But obviously everybody wants to look at UConn. And look, you get me to the Sweet 16 – and we've had a whole week to prepare, Dustin. That's all I can ask for. All right, you get down to the best 16 teams in the tournament. That's all I can ask for, you know. And you give BP and this staff a week to look at UConn and see how we're going to attack them and, you know, how they might attack us or whatever. That's big boy basketball. That's big boy basketball. And I think that's I don't understand the whole. Here's one thing I haven't gotten all week is I hear Auburn fans say, "Man, I sure don't want to play that team. That Florida, I don't want to play Florida. I don't want to play Florida." Hey, bump that. All right. Bump that. Get it out of here. I'm tired of hearing it. All right. I don't give a piss who we play. All right. Bring on. You want to be the best dog? You got to beat the best. Period. End of story. Give me whoever. Give me Kansas. Give me UNC. Give me what, Marquette, whoever, Illinois. I don't care, Dustin. Bring them all on. Let's go. This is a six-game tournament. Mm-hmm. Everybody starts 0-0, all right? All this crap about, oh, man, that team's hot. I don't know if I want to play them. I don't think that's a good matchup. Please don't give us Samford in the first round. What are we doing? Do we not believe in this basketball team? Do we not believe what everything we've accomplished this year, all right? Do we not think that we can win against UConn? I think we can. I think we can. I mean, it's just, oh, well, we made it to the Sweet 16. Season's over. All right. But then 2 years ago when we were the number two seed and we had gotten to the number one first ever ranking in school program history. All right. It was, oh, this draws a cakewalk, bro. We get Miami in the second round. We're about to blast them, bro. Like, this is cakewalk. Final Four, here we come. Everybody, get your tickets. We're NOLA bound. We're NOLA bound. All right? I had tickets to that Final Four. All right? My birthday was Saturday. All right? My birthday's right around March Madness. I had tickets to that Final Four. Guess who wasn't there? All right? Auburn, because remember, it was a cakewalk. Oh, it's a cakewalk, man. We got Barry and Walker, and I'm telling you right now, dog, like, it's over with. But now this year is, oh, well, Sweet 16, we got to play UConn. Oh, all the pressure's on UConn. And I look at this first weekend. I'm sorry, Joseph Goodman can say what he wants to. Yale is not as athletic as Auburn. I'm sorry. I don't know what he's on. He might be on, you know, the good stuff.
I watched that game versus Brown. They barely get out of there versus an under 500 Brown team to win.
They had to hit a buzzer beater.
Yeah, at the buzzer. They escape at the buzzer. Yeah.
Come on. And I mean, they got a test to take Saturday probably. So
right.
I don't think. I'm not worried about the Yale. Obviously, we don't want to overlook anybody. Because it is March and crazy things do happen, you know. I think Princeton knocked off somebody in the first round last year, if I'm not mistaken. But I think we beat Yale, and I think we win that round of 32 game, and I think we find UConn in the Sweet 16, Dustin. I'm just tired of hearing the – I don't want to call it negativity, but it's just the – have faith, man. Have right. trust in this team. Believe in the guys. These ain't just some bums, bro. Like, we're good. Yeah. We're good. We got the best coach in the SEC.
I would say that, like, people don't want to play us. If you were another team and you saw us in the bracket, you should be going, "Oh man, I don't want to exactly. deal with that." On Auburn Dad saying it was Penn that got a first round win last year
from the Ivy. Yeah.
Listen, to the point of the seeding and all that, there's a reason why, if you follow me on social media or, you know, you've been watching us talk about basketball this year, I haven't really focused on seeding. It's not something I care about because this tournament is named Madness for a reason.
Yep.
And this part I'm about to say it's not right, and you can make a whole other argument about why it's not right. As long as Bruce Pearl's at Auburn, we're going to get the short end of things. We've seen that. And to Blake's point earlier, I think it's kind of conference-focused. You go back to the investigations that kind of happened. Will Wade had to go out. Auburn had to suspend guys and vacate and all this kind of stuff. Bill Self didn't get, what, like a game or some crap. Like, they're obviously very selective in the way they do stuff, and we all know that. It's money. Everybody gets it, and we'll just let it be what it is. I mean, it sucks, but I've just accepted that part. And also, I don't think it's a big deal. Like, the difference between a 4 seed and a 3 seed to me is nothing. And to the point of, like, you got to play UConn in Sweet 16. You're not gonna avoid good teams in this tournament. You're gonna see them. I'll give my shout out to the women's team. that's who got kind of shafted. Like that's kind of a real screw job right there, making them play an extra game. But as far as us, Boob, like you don't want to see this Auburn team. You don't want to play this version of Jani Broome. You don't want to play this version of Chaney Johnson. You don't want to play this version of CBM. You don't want to play this version of Bruce Pearl, man. Like Bruce Pearl hot right now. The way like Sean McVay was a couple years ago in the NFL, just dialing up plays that for 2-3 seasons no defensive coordinator could stop. BP's in that spot right now. He is doing stuff, these Iverson cuts, off the flex cut, all man, he's doing so many different things. And again, he can put Jani in the ISO at the top. That just tells you there's so many things that can happen. And I see somebody in the comments pointed out that what they want to do, what opponents are going to want to do to our guards here. Our guy, Doug Dozier says, to beat us, you have to crowd up on our point guards. I agree with this. I would say that Trey is physical to handle that. You have Denver Jones who can handle the ball at 6'4", and he's really shown his ability to get to the hole. And having a guy like Jani, who if my point guard can get the ball to half court, we are running sets with Jani starting them off with the ball at the top of the key. We can do stuff with CBM starting the play off at the top of the key. So if our guards are having a bad game, shooting and things like that, if they can just get the ball to the half court, if BP is drawing up what he was drawing up this weekend, we can eat off of it, dude. We can eat off of it. Ant says, NC, you're bust. I hear you, baby. And looking at this weekend, man, I feel like Auburn should come out of it clean, regardless of that second game scenario, whether it be San Diego State or UAB. I just like our chances. I think that this team is built for March, and this tournament is called Madness for a reason. It's earned it. Y'all know that come Thursday and Friday, you're going to have all your TVs going, and you're going to be flipping back and forth because there's going to be 3 or 4 games that are all coming down to the wire.
Yep.
I remember back in the day, George Mason making a run to the Final Four, Florida Gulf Coast going on their magic run, like every year. Remember the Peacocks, like, and they, hey, they're set to do it again this year. Y'all, I'm pulling y'all to take down Tennessee, baby. look, this tournament's crazy, man. So we can get got and we can get somebody else. So that's why I'm just not going to be too much on that train, because I think this team is built for it. I kind of expect the screw job. And I don't think it was that big of a screw job. Should we have been a 3 seed, maybe a 2 seed? Sure. But my point is, like, how much does that ultimately matter in the grand scheme of things? I don't think it does, because of your example exactly of when we were the 2 seed. But we all knew going into that tournament, we weren't playing good ball. And we got bounced in that first round of that SEC tournament, and we knew we weren't playing good ball. And we didn't play that great versus Jacksonville State in that first round. We knew we weren't playing good ball. And then we came up against a Miami team that got us. But how was that Miami team built? With depth, guard play, and veteran leadership. Veterans across the board. And that's what this team has. So that's kind of something I think we should be excited about. Our guy, Brett Blake, I ain't got it in me. My Red Bull is empty. Okay, I done drank it all. I've been doing some other pods today. But Brett says, Blake, he's on Ric Flair, the styling, profiling, limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, son of a gun. If you want to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Yes,
hit with that war eagle and that, woo! Let's go.
Hey, Ric Flair, baby. Hey, that's it. That's what I'm talking about, man. That's that energy you got to have. You know, I mean – what's the difference? Tell me, what's the difference? All right, you want to play UConn in the Sweet 16 and that first game after a week off, or you want to play them in the Elite Eight? Give us a 3 seed and play them in the Elite Eight. And they just got done playing a game, they're hot, they've played on the rims already. All right, I'd rather catch them in that first game in the Sweet 16 when we're playing on new rims. Maybe they ain't used to them, they hadn't shot on them. You never know, man. You never know. I'd rather get them in that first day.
That 2019 run, Blake. Did we not slay every Goliath that the college blue bloods could ever throw at us? Give me Kansas. Give me North Carolina. Give me your Kentucky. We slayed the beasts. So
you remember going into that UNC game, the pregame. Chuck was just like, hey, man, like, I'm riding with Auburn, and everybody was like, Kenny was sitting there, Kenny the Jet Smith. He was like, hey, come on now, baby. You know it's Tar Heel Nation, obviously, because he went to North Carolina. But everybody else on the table was like, oh, it's North Carolina, you know, and Chuck was like, nah, bro, like, Auburn's got them. Like, Auburn's hot right now. And bang, Nobody expected Auburn to beat North Carolina by 20. It's like Dustin said, it's madness. Me personally, I told you, I'd rather catch UConn that week off. Let's get there. Let's play them. We're playing on new rims. You never know. Hey, look, there was teams at the SEC tournament when they were playing the first game of the day. They said, hey, look, we need to get on these rims because they're tight. All right. The ball we ain't getting a shooter's roll or anything like that. These rims are tight, man. Like some of these shots, it's like playing on a double rim. All right. You gotta put it through the nylon, dog. And if you touch rim on a double rim, you're missing. And that's what I mean by that. Do you give them a day? Do you want them on that second day in the Elite Eight? Like, you're going to have to play them regardless, bro. Right. So why are we, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You're going to have to beat somebody in the tournament, you know.
And say that one of those teams come up and beat UConn. I don't think it'll be the first round matchup, but say somebody gets them in the second round.
FAU.
Yeah, say FAU gets them. Then are we in the Sweet 16 looking at FAU like it's a blow-by? Like, no, they're not – because they just beat UConn. So, like, whoever you play, whoever you meet, the farther you get is playing good basketball and is ready to go. That's just the nature of the tournament, man.
Hey, let me tell you something real quick, all right? Perfect example. Last year, Alabama, number one overall seed, going into the Sweet 16. Who'd they play? San Diego State, all right? I'm in a group chat. Got a couple of Alabama buddies in there. Guess what the feeling was in the group chat? Oh, dog, we got San Diego State. I said, hey, don't look past them. They play defense. All right. I said, they can't shoot it that great. All right. They're really bad offensively. But don't mess around with that defense. And they got beat. All right. So do you think San Diego State's fans were sitting here going, damn, man, we got to play Alabama, man?
Right.
We got to play Alabama. We lost. No, man, it's madness. It's madness. Yeah. Enjoy it.
Auburn Dad says, me and Dustin are reading each other's mind. Hey, we appreciate you. And look, if you want to be like Auburn Dad and you want to see what these memberships are all about, he's celebrating his 3-month anniversary today. Blake, what can the people get,
man? Man, get over there. Look at that JV squad, $3.99 a month. We will be doing member shout-outs, early access to videos, priority reply to comments, all of that good stuff. And if you want to bump up for that $5.99 a month, that varsity squad, get in that game day group chat, the recruiting update videos with Dustin. Gameplay with you will be kicking off this week or possibly next week. We got some things, we got some equipment we got coming in, and we're going to get all that good stuff set up. Watch the film, Auburn Baseball. I will be putting one of those out this week. Our baseball team got blasted, but I'm going to fight through it. I'm going to fight through it, Dustin, and I'm going to put it out. We'll look at it. We'll break it all down. I put one out last week, and there wasn't a lot of positivity out of Nashville on the baseball side this weekend, but we'll break it down. We'll look through it and all that good stuff, man. And those are your memberships. And we appreciate each and every one of you for joining us and being with us along this journey.
Yeah, for sure. Big shout out to our members, man. We love y'all. Y'all keep the lights on here at the Uptempo Podcast. And like, we need it, man. We need the support. We need the backing. Like, you guys really do help us. And we really, really do appreciate it. And Blake said that watch the film for the baseball won't be too fun. But my watch the film for the basketball will be fun, baby. When we do the watch the film for the basketball, I promise you we will be barning hard. So click that link in the description. Check out our sponsor of today's show at the Barner Supply Company. Our guy Matthew over there doing big things, baby. He's got all kind of fresh gear. I got the shirt right here, Blake. I wore it on Championship Sunday.
Yes, sir.
You know, everybody knew what I was going to do, baby. I woke up. I was ready to barn. That's what we do. So go check it out. That video link is in the description. Click on that. Go check them out. Also, thewarpoor.com if you're interested in some up-tempo merchandise. Now, time for our final thoughts, and then we'll get you guys' comments, and we'll get out of here. Blake, I know you got something that you want to say, but before I pass the mic to you, brother, I just got to give a shout-out to these two people on our screen right here. We all know the greatness of Coach Bruce Pearl, but I want to talk real quick about Coach Harris, because the program that she inherited was a complete disaster. In the same way that what Bruce Pearl took over from Tony Barbee was a complete disaster, that's what Coach Harris took over. Auburn basketball with two teams into the tournament. Now, I spoke on it. I think that the tournament committee on the women's side giving our women a play-in game and then getting Texas A&M the automatic seed in when we had a better record in conference and overall than Texas A&M. That part was a little confusing to me, but nevertheless, dude, Auburn being in the tournament, men and women's, for the first time in a while, a big shout out. It's not easy to do. Blake said it. Auburn's still a football school. They still, these two coaches right here, still lack the resources that a lot of their competitors have, especially Coach Harris. And if you watch this women's team, there's not a whole lot to work with on the offensive end. She has been able to get a buy-in on the defensive end, and these ladies play hard every single minute on the defensive end the same way the men's team do. And now you look at Auburn basketball, and you know that when you play our men or our women, you are in for hell when you try to score, because that's what Coach Harris and BP will do. They will draw it up on defense, and they will make you work. So, Coach Harris, congratulations on the accomplishment. So proud of you. So proud of this women's team and what they've accomplished. BP, another SEC title, our second tournament championship. We know he's got the regular season ones as well. Another 20-plus win season for us on the men's side. Just another tournament bid. I think it's going to be another tournament here where we have at least one win. That's an accomplishment in itself. BP doing what BP does, man. I think this has been one of his better coaching jobs. I think this BP identifying what this team needed in the offseason on the court and off the court. He probably could have went and got some guys. There were some names that were floated around in the offseason that were had bigger stats than some of the guys that we brought in, were bigger names than Chaney Johnson. But I'm here to say maybe Bruce brought some of them guys in on visits and said, you know what? I just had a team that necessarily didn't get along the best. I need a group of guys that are going to buy in and play this way. What you saw Sunday started way back in the offseason. Bruce Pearl built this thing way back in the summer last year when the season ended. Bruce put this thing together on the court, off the court. He had a grand vision. He had a master plan, and it all kind of came together to win us an SEC tournament championship. And I don't want to hear anything about this road, because South Carolina's in the SEC tourney, Mississippi State is in the SEC tourney, and Florida's in the SEC tourney. We beat three tournament teams in the weekend. So Auburn men and women's basketball, man, what's going on at Neville Arena? We're doing big, big things. I love both of these coaches. Shout out to both of these coaches and both of these programs, the players, the assistant coaches, the recruiting staffs, everybody involved in the athletic department, everybody involved in getting Auburn basketball to where it sits March 18th, 2024. Love you. Appreciate you, man. It hasn't been easy to do. You've had to put in a lot of work. And for everybody that has done that, I sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
Good stuff, Dustin. I like it, man. I really do. Big shout out to the women's team. They had a heartbreaking loss at Alabama, and a lot of people thought that they wouldn't make the tournament after that, and they rebounded and they found a way to get in. They had a big game against Arkansas in the women's tournament, and they beat them, and that really pushed the envelope for them to get into the tournament. And congrats to them, brother. Congrats to them. I liked what you had to say there. Before I get on my thing, I just had something that March Madness posted for all of the "we got to play UConn" haters when we get to that point. If we get to that point, if we make it to the Sweet 16, if they make it to the Sweet 16, I just wanted to point this out real quick. 2003, the last 10 number one overall seeds. 2003, Alabama lost in the Sweet 16. Gonzaga, 2022, lost in the Sweet 16. Gonzaga, 2021, lost in the national championship game. Duke, 2019, obviously there was no 2020 season due to COVID, lost in the Elite Eight. Virginia, 2018, lost in the first round. Sorry, my wife just texted me. Villanova, 2017, lost in the second round. Kansas, 2016, lost in the Elite Eight. Kentucky, 2015, lost in the Final Four. Florida, 2014, lost in the Final Four. Sounds like a bunch of losses to me. That's what I got from it, all right? That's what I got from it. I don't know about anybody else. All I heard right there was a bunch of L's, all right? So all this stuff about we can't beat UConn and all this stuff. All right, we'll worry about it when we get there, if we get there, if they get there. So, for my final thoughts tonight, let me text my wife back real quick, Dustin.
Daniel, we agree with you. He says Auburn's got to beat Yale first. We definitely got to get there for sure.
Exactly. It's a one game at a time thing, real quick. So, my final thoughts tonight is our coach gave an emotional speech in the post game with Marty Smith from ESPN, and Bruce was crying, and you know, he said, "Hey, I lost my dad. This is what this moment means to me. I lost him in August." And you know, when it comes to sports, every guy out there knows how much your dad means to you, right? Like, growing up, man, it was always you and Pops, like, out in the yard, shooting hoops. Me and my dad, we played horse. All right? Like, that was our game in the driveway. Like, I could never beat my dad in horse, dog. Like, never. And it used to frustrate the piss out of me, all right? But it was always you and Pops. And so that bond was there, man. That connection was there. Even though we're always mama boys and all that stuff, like, we love on mama, that connection with our dad is still there. And Bruce, he was emotional yesterday. And you could see the tears flowing down his face. And when he started talking about his dad, he was just saying, like, hey, he was the biggest Auburn fan I knew. He was the biggest Bruce Pearl fan I knew. And he loved these kids. And he, like he said, we didn't have much, but we had enough when I was growing up. And he was like, and my dad was tough on me, so I'm tough on these kids. And I just want to teach them the same thing that my dad taught me. All right? So what leads me to all of this is I get on the internet yesterday and I see a clip on TikTok of Barstool Sports watching the SEC tournament live stream, like Dustin and myself do. All right? Dustin live streams basketball games. I do baseball. We're just sitting here on a screen. We're talking about the game and all of that good stuff, right? Barstool does that. All right. They're all sitting in a room. They're all shooting, you know, shooting them, whatever you want to call it. And they're cracking jokes and having fun. Well, Brandon Walker, who is a Mississippi State fan and one of the big Barstool college football people, who constantly gives out shit takes. I'll be honest with you. I don't like him. I think he's trash at what he does. I don't like it. All right. And as they're all watching it yesterday, Brandon Walker says, "Why is Bruce Pearl crying? Are we really just sitting here crying over winning an SEC championship? Is it that big of a deal? Like, are tears being shed over an SEC title? This isn't a national title. It's an SEC title." With him having no idea what was coming out of Bruce's mouth, he immediately started wanting to make a joke out of it, all right? And I get it, because that's what Barstool Sports is. It's a joke, all right? The whole company is a joke. The only thing you're good at is pizza reviews, dog, and that's the owner of your company and Dave Portnoy. I mean, he's single-handedly carrying the company because that's all you got, all right? But big props to Big Cat for being in the back, and he said, "Hey, why are we doing that? Like, you don't know what Bruce is going through. Like, you don't know what kind of day he had, what happened in the locker room before they hit the court. You know what? You don't know anything that's transpired. Like, you don't have a clue." And Brandon Walker was like, "Well, it doesn't matter. Like, he's sitting here crying over winning." No, Brandon Walker, your problem is that we waxed your ass the day before. Okay, that was your problem, because you're a Mississippi State fan, dog. You will never be anything. You aren't anything. Your school's terrible, all right? You never compete in the SEC. You're a bottom dweller. You're not good at anything. And that's just facts. That's just facts. That's the whole reason you were mad, is because you got to the semifinals of the SEC tournament, and we waxed you, dog. You got waxed by Bruce Pearl. So you wanted to try to make a joke out of something where our coach is sitting here talking about his father who just passed right before basketball season, the biggest thing that they shared together. He passed right before basketball season, and you're out here trying to make a joke about it, dog. I don't agree with it. I think that's clown. I think it's a clown move. I think it's a joke, and I don't stand for any of that, man. Like, I don't think it's cool, you know, and like Chad Baker sitting up against the scoring table calling his mom and everything saying, hey, mom, I made it. You don't know what Chad Baker Mazar went through. All right, to get to this, he was playing JUCO basketball last year. And everybody's like, oh, this is the most cringy stuff I've ever seen in my life. Auburn is the most cringiest basketball team I've ever seen. Bro, Chad Baker was on his last mark, all right? Because once you go to JUCO, a lot of people, trust me, I played JUCO baseball. You never get heard from again. It's a struggle. You ride a 15-passenger minivan to games. Like, dog, you don't know the struggle of JUCO if you ain't never done it. You get freezing ice-cold sub sandwiches, dog, before games. And after games, you get thrown a Capri Sun and everything like you're in elementary school. You don't know the struggles of JUCO. And that man was at JUCO. He was on his last shot. And you want to sit there and, because he's on the phone with his mom, sitting in front of the scorer's table saying, hey, I did it. I'm a champion. I'm an SEC champion. Look, if you want to hate on Bruce, hate on Bruce. It's stupid. It's stupid, man. That was 13, 14 years ago when all that crap went down at Tennessee. Who cares? Like, it's over with, man. He's a good person. He stands up for the right things in this country. And he's open about it on Twitter.
Not easy to do.
It's not.
Which is not easy to do.
It's not. And he does the right thing, man. And he's a damn good person, dog. And I didn't agree with any of that yesterday. I've watched other teams, you know, if Florida would have won, you know, hey, I wouldn't have got on Twitter and been like, oh, man, screw Florida. You know, Todd Golden's a bum or whatever. No, I'd have been like, hey, congrats, man. Todd Golden, he come from the Bruce Pearl tree. All right, good for him. When they lost one of their star players yesterday, the first thing that went through my mind was, hey, wish that kid a full recovery. Like, please, man. The kid had a compound fracture on the court yesterday. There was blood on the court. It was a gruesome injury. Don't nobody want to see that. And we got people on the internet making fun of it and stuff. Like, come on. Like, it's time to grow up, man. Some stuff ain't meant to be joked about, you know? And hear a man out before you make comments on things. Like, it ticked me off for real when I saw that clip last night and BP was crying and everything, because I know what my dad means to me. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't sit right with me, just like I'm sure it don't sit right with Bruce. And I'll always stand up for BP, dog, because he goes to bat for the right things. Like I said, in this country, he's always vocal, and I think that's why his players love him so much, because he gives his guys freedom. Hey, you just go out there and play, all right? You don't never hear any of his players getting in trouble, all right? You don't hear his players taking guns to teammates at 2 a.m. in the morning, all right? You just don't see it. You don't hear it. And I'm sorry. I think he's a hell of a guy, and I think he's somebody that I would want my son to play for. So that's why I stand with him, Dustin.
Yeah, for sure. I haven't seen the clip that you're talking about, but, you know, I'll just say that, like you said, Barstool, that's kind of what they do, right? Like, I'm not even going at them. Like, it's there. If you see their social media accounts, if you kind of see their content, like, it's for the gag. Like, they'll post stuff that is, like, inaccurate in the sports realm.
Yep.
But because it's fun, they'll post it in a way that they think it's funny. And if that's the kind of content that, like, you like, that's cool. I get it. Ha, ha, ha. But, like, you know, me and Blake, that's just not really, like, what we do. Like, when it comes to sports, it's all – you can tell jokes. I'm not saying, like, you know, be a stickler in the mud. It's not like that. But, like, for one, like, the joke has to be rooted in some truth. Like, you know, kind of I'm kind of talking to Auburn Barstool account that'll just – troll Bama regardless of situation. Like, Bama will beat us in something, and then they'll the first clap they have is something stupid about Bama, and it's like, hey, man, like, if that's the way you operate, that's fine. But that's not the way that we're going to operate in reality. Yeah. So, yeah, like, I haven't seen that clip, and I don't want to. I don't pay attention to anything that comes out of them because I know that it's just not – it's not serious about sports. And if you're a casual and that's kind of your lane and you want it, you know, you want it to be like half mainstream, half about sports, then Barstool is all for you, right? And you'll get you a little bit of sports content. You'll get you a little bit of some updates on Drake or whatever's going on in the world of the Kardashians, right? Like, Barstool's got you. But, you know, if you're about the ball, probably not the place for you. So I'm not surprised if something like that would come out of them because it's all for the joke. They're not about the truth. It's about the pursuit of the joke and that kind of deal. So whatever, man. You know, I feel Bruce, like you said, everybody, or not everybody, but majority of us, you find sports through your dad. You go to games with your dad, you go into the baseball games with your dad. Even I know that even like Devin, even our women viewers. It's with the pops, right? You went to the games with your dad. You had that relationship with your dad, watching the games and all that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, and Bruce, and even if nothing to do about sports, just a son accomplishing something, and his dad's not there to not enjoy it with him for the first time in his life. And it just kind of set in with him in that moment. So we love you, Bruce. We stand behind you 100%. Listen, guys, hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button to the channel. We love each and every single one of you. We will be back tomorrow with another live show talking about some spring updates from the football, baby. Me and Blake about to hop over here, and we don't want to talk about it, but we're going to drop this baseball podcast for y'all. So like y'all know, baseball, football, basketball, we're doing it all. Stay tuned. We will definitely be covering this team's basketball run. We'll be doing more live streams. As we say, they're going to keep winning some games. So y'all stay locked in, man. Hit that like button on the way out. Barner Supply Company link in the video description. Support our sponsors. War Damn Eagle, baby. SEC champs. Let's go.
War Damn, baby.